All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We've been looking at the word godliness. It's a word that's found some 15 times in the New Testament, and we've been looking at various ways in which we see the word godliness used. In our study today, let's look at godly views of sin and the ungodly view of sin. You know, we've talked about what the definition of godliness has been, so let's again remind ourselves of what that word means. Thayer says godliness means reverence, respect. In the Bible, everywhere, piety towards God. W.E. Vine says that godliness means that piety which, characterized by a godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to him. So we also find the opposite of the word godliness, and that's ungodly, simply meaning not godly, or maybe as the case might be, non-godly. You know, we live in a time when there is a non-godly view that people have of sin. We find that many people have different definitions of sin. For instance, some people classify things that would hurt someone as sin, and they would give you the example of murder, or driving under the influence and have a wreck and injure, or if not kill, someone. Another definition that some people have for sin is that if it's illegal, and sometimes this is the definition that something is illegal only if and when you get caught, such as engaging in illegal business deals, cheating on your taxes, or something to that effect. Then another definition that certainly we have seen all down through the ages of man, but especially seemingly in our generation, is people consider things that are socially unacceptable in the category of sin. And take, for instance, being judgmental, judging others, that today would be considered a very bad sin on the part of some. Another definition is that if something hurts yourself, and people seemingly would come around to the fact that things such as smoking, certainly a lot of advertisement, a lot of facts, a lot of evidence to the effect that smoking does harm, and so many people would lump smoking into that category of something that's a sin because here you're doing something that's hurting yourself. And another definition of people that have their own definition of sin is that it makes one feel bad about themselves. And so here is a person that's, say, violating his own conscience, whatever his conscience is, here's something that he does that violates his conscience. To them, that would be a sin. But, you know, in all of these things that we have seen a non-godly definition of sin, the consequence is only that of some form of human punishment. But when we look at the godly view of sin, we see a definite definition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, notice as we begin our reading with verse 1, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." One definition of sin is to transgress. We read of that in 1 John 3 and verse 4. "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." The idea is that it is missing the mark that God has set for us to attain. When we miss that mark, we sin. So, yes, indeed, murder is wrong, but it's wrong because of God, not just for the fact that it hurts someone. It's wrong because God says that it's wrong. And in reference to 1 John 3 and verse 4, we can also read 1 John 5, verse 17. "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death." So we see then here that things that may be by society acceptable, yet still may be sin. There are a lot of things that we have legalized in this country, but just because society has accepted them to the point that they can become legal as far as man is concerned, that still doesn't take them out of the category of being sin in God's sight. God's view, the godly view of sin. So, such things as the lottery, socially acceptable, legal, but yet sinful. Abortion, socially acceptable, legal, but still it's sinful. So we see then that the godly view of sin is far different than the non-godly view of sin. In 2 John, verse 9, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." So here we see that the definition of sin is when we no longer are in or within the boundary of the teaching, the doctrine of Christ. If we transgress, that word transgress is a word that not just only means to does not abide, but it means to go beyond. Again, it goes back to what we said a moment ago. It's missing the mark. We know what the word transgress means because we use another form of the word almost every day. You'll see a sign on a building or a sign on a piece of property that says, "No trespassing." That word trespassing tells us that if we go beyond that fence, we have gone beyond. We're not abiding within the boundary that has been set. Same is true of a building. If we go into that building, we are transgressing. We are trespassing. And so this is what John is telling us in 2 John, verse 9. Whoever transgresses, God has set the boundary. God has said that which he would have us to do. God has told us that which he would not have us to do. When we do not abide within what God tells us to do, then we do not have God. And if we do so, we not only are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, but we have not God, and we have neither the Son, the Father, nor the Son. So, this falls into the area of what a lot of people do religiously. Many people do things in the name of religion that they call worship, but it's not what God has required. It's not what God commands to be done in worship unto Him. God commands singing. Well, when we play, we're doing something different than singing. Singing is a form of music, but it is vocal music. Playing is a form of music, but it is a different form than vocal music. God specified the music, just like God specified Noah in the building of the ark to build it of gopher wood. Wood is a specific kind of wood. Noah could not use some other kind of wood just because he said wood's wood. No, when God specifies, that eliminates all other possibilities. So when God said sing, that eliminates all other forms of music, and that, of course, is in the form of mechanical instruments of music. When God says that upon the first day of the week that we are to assemble together to break bread, like the church in Troas did in Acts chapter 20, then that is the day that God has specified that we are to remember His Son's death, burial, and resurrection. We can't do it on Saturday night. We can't do it on any other night of the week because God said upon the first day of the week. That's the example that we see approved of in Acts 20 and verse 7. So what happens if we observe the Lord's Supper on a Saturday night? Well, we do exactly what John is saying. We transgress. We do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. And if we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. So there's so much that's done in the name of religion in regards to worship that God has not specified. Or it has been that here is something that God has specified, and yet we do not abide within those limitations of the things that God specifies. We're doing exactly the thing that John condemns us of here in 2 John verse 9. In fact, when we fail to worship, you know, James said in James 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So here we see another definition of sin. We all, so often, and it's so easy to think of sin in terms of doing something that God forbids us to do. Here God forbids us to do this, we go ahead and do it anyway. And that's the concept that many people have of sin. But friends, sin, yes, that is sin, but when we fail to do what God tells us to do, that is sin. And that's what James is pointing out here. When we know to do good, and yet we do it not, that's sin. When we know that we're up to upon the first day of the week, assemble ourselves together, and we do not do it, then we sin. When we know that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and we do not do it, we sin. When we know that we're supposed to lay by in stores, God has prospered, as 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 teaches, and we do not do it, we sin. So it's not just a matter of God says, thou shalt not murder, and we kill somebody. Or that God says, thou shalt not lie, or thou shalt not steal. And we lie, we steal. Yes, that's sin. But it's just more than doing the things that God forbids us to do that is sin. But it's failing to do what God says for us to do. That also is sin. So, to godly people, sin is man's most serious problem. And solving the problem of sin is man's most urgent need. And man by himself cannot solve that. God has provided the means of our forgiveness. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Man.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.